fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. This is a busy period in the qualifying competition for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. There are qualifying matches over the next 6 days all across Africa. Another round of qualifiers will be played in mid-November, and the final round will be in March 2019. After those games, we'll know the 24 teams that will feature at Cameroon 2019. In Nations Cup qualifying results Wednesday, host Ethiopia and neighbor Kenya played to a scoreless draw, while 2012 Nations Cup champion Zambia beat visiting Guinea-Bissau 2-1. Stapila Sunzu and Justin Shonga had the goals for the Chipolopolo of Zambia, while Frederick Mendy had a late goal for Guinea-Bissau. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will host the Mediterranean Knights of Libya Saturday in Uyo in another Nations Cup qualifier. To find out more about Nigeria's pre-match training camp, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Uyo, where he reached the media officer of the Super Eagles, Toyin Ibitoye.
Well, camp is very good. All the invited players are in camp now. We don't have any injury worries. All the players are sweating it out in training, as I speak to you, all the 24 of them. And the spirit is very, very good. The mood in camp is very positive, very competitive training. And we're happy with the state of the boys. Mentally, physically, they are ready. And I believe on Saturday, these guys will go out there, defend the green, white, green of Nigeria, and give us every reason to be hopeful of being at the Nations Cup next year.
What targets has the team set for itself in this doubleheader against Libya?
Of course, we want to win both games. But our focus right now is on the first game that we have on Saturday. A victory in that game will put us in the right frame of mind for the second one. So that's our plan. We want to win the two games, starting with the one on Saturday. 6 points is going to be fantastic for us, because that will almost seal our place in the Nations Cup next year. So we're working on 6 points, and I believe we can achieve the 6 points.
Are we likely going to see new faces in the Super Eagles lineup on Saturday?
With the way the training is going, Coach Gennaro can pick any out of those who are here, the 24 that are here, any of them can be picked to do the business for us. So it's a good headache for him to pick out 18 from these 24 and then to eventually pick those who will start the game. I believe whoever is called upon to do the business for Nigeria will know that it's carrying the hopes and aspirations of about 70 million people, and they will not want to disappoint. So we believe in the quality that we have, that we can get a good result.
Do you have any message for Nigerians regarding Saturday's match?
Yes, of course. We want Nigerians to pray for us, continue to support us. It should be like the 12th player. Motivate these boys with your support and get them to be tired to do more than they would normally do by going out there and getting the desired victory on Saturday.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of three-time Nations Cup football champion Nigeria. And Toyin spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Uyo, Nigeria. Libya and South Africa currently lead the Group E standings with 4 points from two Nations Cup qualifiers. Nigeria has 3 points, and the Seychelles has no points. South Africa is scheduled to host the Seychelles in Johannesburg Saturday in the other group qualifier. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenyan marathon runner Samuel Kalalai has been banned for 4 years after testing positive for the performance-enhancing blood booster EPO. The disciplinary action was announced by the Athletics Integrity Unit, or AIU, the independent agency of the International Association of Athletics Federations, the sports world governing body. The 23-year-old Kalalai won the Athens Marathon last November. He tested positive for EPO at the Rotterdam Marathon in April when he set a personal best time of 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 44 seconds to finish in 7th place. Kenya's reputation as a dominant force in global distance running has been tarnished in recent years by doping cases among their elite athletes. Kalalai is the third Kenyan to receive a four-year doping ban in 2018, and four other cases are still pending. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to South Sudan, which for the first time in its brief history has won a gold medal at a world competition. It happened at the 43rd Chess Olympiad in the former Soviet country of Georgia. South Sudan's team beat 35 other countries to emerge at the top of its group. South Sudan's Chess Federation leader says the country could win more medals in sports if the government would invest in its youth and end the fighting. Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba, South Sudan.
South Sudanese chess players were grinning from ear to ear as they stepped out of their plane at Juba International Airport, showing off their gold medals. South Sudanese chess player Deng Cibrano, one of five players who represented South Sudan at the Chess Olympiad, says he was placed in Group E along with other players from Africa, South America, and Europe. He says it was against all odds for South Sudan to win their group.
We play 11 rounds. We lost four games. We drew in three games and we won another four games. So when you win, you have 2 points. So when you draw, you have one. We play with very strong opponent. We play versus Mexico, Colombia, Ireland, Scotland, Liechtenstein, Yemen. So we play versus Oman and we managed to win. And Liberia, we won Liberia. And then we draw with Hong Kong, we draw with Kuwait.
It's the first gold medal South Sudan has ever won in an international competition. Deng says patience, a lesson he has learned from South Sudan's long history of struggle, helped him and his teammates beat the odds.
For us, youth of South Sudan, we are talented. We have that skill of calculating. We have you have to be patient. We have to have good strategy and good planning. So most things that we have here in South Sudan, players, they are tactical. So they know how to trick the opponent easily.
Jada Albert, president of the South Sudan Chess Federation, who was in Batumi, Georgia with his team, says the victory will help change the image of South Sudan in the eyes of the international community.
When you talk about South Sudan, people have only one thing. Oh, these are the guys who are fighting, who are killing each other. You know, as if we know nothing, we have nothing, we do nothing apart from killing each other. But I believe that South Sudan has got a lot to offer to the world, especially the youth of South Sudan. If they are taken to the right direction to fulfill their potential, they can show the world that there is more to South Sudan.
This marks the second time South Sudan has participated in the World Chess Competition. South Sudan first appeared at the competition in Baku during the 42nd Chess Olympiad. Albert says his team may advance to Group D or C in the next year's tournament, given its gold medal win this year. For VOA News, I'm Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
Thank you for that report, Manyang David Mayar. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, I've been chatting with Namdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about some of the latest developments in the fight game. Namdi says he's excited about a little-known Namibian getting a chance to fight for the World Boxing Organization's interim middleweight title next week in Boston, Massachusetts.
Sonny, man. I mean, you know, when my boys do it, you know, I'm very happy because we come from a very long place, Sonny. And for the African fighter, he's not only fighting the opponent, he's fighting the promoter, the boxing commission, the television network. So when our boys get a break, we're very, very happy. The name is Walter Panduleni Kaudantukwa. He's going to fight Dimitris Andrade from the U.S., October 20, at the Boston Garden in Boston. The question is, who is Walter Kaudondokwa? He's from Namibia with a record of 17-0 and 16 big knockouts. Well, it's a raise a flag right there. Who are these guys he knocked out? Who are these guys he fought? All these fights were in Africa, in Namibia. But at the age of 33, you're fighting a young American in Dimitris Andrade, you better bring your A game from Windhoek, Namibia.
Namdi, how did this Namibian get into position to fight for the world title?
Sonny, remember the WBO middleweight champion is Billy Joe Saunders from the UK. He failed a drug test. The Massachusetts State Athletic Commission denied him a license. So the next available contender to fight the American is Walter. So Walter is in position and he is ready. And he can punch. He's a puncher, you know, and he has a puncher's chance. So if the American thinks he can get in there and have an easy fight. And remember, too, Walter is the WBO African middleweight champion. So he's not a nobody. He will fight.
I think of Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo Namdi. Namibia, pretty proud tradition when it comes to prize fighting.
I am very, very proud of what they do in Namibia. But remember, this is the same group of people that brought the Blue Machine. Nestor Tobias, this is the same group of people that's now stepping forward with Walter Kaudondokwa. So they know what they're doing. Boxing is well and alive in Namibia. Hopefully other African countries can do the same. Like we know in Accra, Ghana, you know, everything is big in boxing there. But hopefully other African countries will walk away a little bit from football and take a look at boxing, because boxing brings a lot to the country.
There's a guy who brings a lot of boxing expertise to our Voice of America airwaves. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Namdi in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Swiss tennis star Roger Federer appears to be in good form in Shanghai, China. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Two-time Shanghai Masters champion Roger Federer is well on his way to defending his title. On Thursday, he reached the quarterfinals after defeating Roberto Bautista Agut of Spain. It was a tough match for Federer. He lost a set for the first time in 8 meetings with Bautista Agut. But Federer was able to come up with the win 6-3, 2-6, 6-4. After the match, Federer talked about losing that second set.
He really caught fire, I thought. You know, I served, I think, 80% in that second set and got broken twice. So it shows you that he connected well, he read my serve well, or picked the sides well, I'm not sure. I hope he was more picking sides than reading serves. But overall, I thought, you know, we had some tough rallies from the baseline, like expected.
Federer's wife and 4 children are in Shanghai for the first time to cheer him on. And he says, with them there, he's got a safe face.
I was telling myself, like, particularly tonight, I cannot lose, you know, because they were there. But I don't know how much I draw from that, quite honestly. They're enjoying themselves in Shanghai. They've been on the road for a long time now, almost 3 months now, ever since we went to America. they haven't been back to Switzerland, so I think we're looking forward to go home again, but they're having a great time, you know, and yesterday went to Disneyland, so everything's good there. So they're having a blast while I'm working. It's all good.
Federer working hard for his family and to hold on to his number two ranking. He next plays Japan's Kei Nishikori on Friday in the quarterfinals. Serbia's Novak Djokovic continues his impressive run after securing a spot at the tournament as a replacement for Rafael Nadal. Djoko is a three-time champion at the Shanghai Masters and reached the quarters after defeating Italy's Marco Cecchinato in straight sets. Cecchinato beat Djokovic earlier this year at the French Open, and after Thursday's match, Djokovic said he's happy this time the tables were turned.
You know, I was making him play. I was an extra shot. I was aggressive when I needed to be. The second set was perfect, really, and I'm really glad to be able to finish the match the way I did.
Djokovic will next play in a rematch against South Africa's Kevin Anderson, whom Djoko defeated in this year's Wimbledon final. If Djoko reaches the final of the Shanghai Masters, he'll replace Roger Federer as world number two and sit only 35 ranking points behind world number one, Rafael Nadal.
I am aware of the difference in the points. I am, no doubt about that. Now that I'm put myself in a position to fight for number one, and obviously I'm going to try to do everything I can to get to number one, and that's one of the probably the biggest goal of this end of the season.
Novak Djokovic has won 15 matches in a row. He'll go for number 16 in the final four. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Gwen mentioned Kevin Anderson in her report. The tall South African will next play Serbian star Novak Djokovic in the quarterfinals in Shanghai. Anderson says he really enjoys the tennis atmosphere in China. VOA's Jim Stevenson has that story, as well as more sports news, in this report.
It's a very big tournament. It's one of our Masters series, you know, especially in this part of the world where, you know, I think there's a lot of growth.
Men's tennis is underway in China at the Shanghai Masters tournament, where South African Kevin Anderson enjoys the crowds and the extra effort by the event organizers.
It's great to see so many fans coming out here, and I think increasing each year. They really do a great job. Go, you know, while outside there, you know, what they need to do in order to, you know, provide a great week for us tennis players here. I think a lot of players really enjoy coming here, from, you know, the food, just to the general player amenities. It's, you know, it's great.
A former quarterfinalist in Shanghai, Anderson says the fast courts are an adjustment coming from the previous tournament in Tokyo.
Yeah, it's quite a bit quicker, actually. I felt Tokyo, you know, the ball through the air was pretty quick, but the court surface was pretty low bouncing, you know, and pretty slow. You know, hit out here today and I feel it's, you know, quite a bit different. Of course, being outside as well is a big difference. You know, usually from Tokyo, obviously just with this year, with the Olympics, we were indoors, so that's a bit of an adjustment.
To stand here right now as the champion is pretty special.
Lukas Bjerregaard of Denmark captured his second European Tour title at the home of golf, St. Andrews in Scotland.
To win at St. Andrews is special. St. Andrews on a Sunday is always special. But this tournament is something very unique, and everyone's having a great time.
Bjerregaard had a good time on the greens when he needed to.
Putting was the big difference. Missed a couple of good chances on 14 and 15, but the putt on 16 made all the difference.
Tyrrell Hatton of England didn't do so well on the final green to finish one shot behind.
My putt on the last to get in the playoff sums it up, really. Just a massive gust of wind and just knocks me off. I pretty much lose balance on a putt.
Hatton fell to the harsh weather conditions on the final holes of the final round.
You need some good breaks, I guess, when things aren't quite going your way. Unfortunately, that didn't quite happen for me on the back nine, so I'm pretty disappointed because I had a five-shot lead at one point, so it was in my hands, and unfortunately I just couldn't seem to do anything right on the back nine.
Also one shot back was English compatriot Tommy Fleetwood.
I was in there with a chance, really. I was up there on Sunday trying to win, and that's you have to keep that in perspective. Obviously, I wanted to win, and I haven't. But all in all, you know, you look at all that stuff and just take it with you.
But Fleetwood is always looking forward.
There's still tournaments left, so keep your head down, keep practicing, and keep trying to improve.
And you can be certain Beauregard will defend his title.
Yeah, I've had a great week, and, you know, I can't wait to come back next year.
Chinese golfers Li Haotong and Alan Chong combined to win the team event.
I had a lot low shot, and especially King's Bond being hurt me a lot because all the side wind was quite strong. So, but lucky, shoot a real low run on around here today.
For his first time at St. Andrews, a win is especially good for Lee.
Yeah, it's just made a history, actually, pretty much. Yeah, and first time so far play this course. It's just amazing.
It's on to another revered setting, the old course at Walton Heath Golf Club for the British Masters.
I feel quite tired still.
Winning may be exhausting, but Lucas Beauregard has another great venue ahead.
It's a course I really like. I really enjoy coming here, and it's great to have a tournament here finally. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
It's a challenge Danish compatriot Torbjørn Olesen is ready for.
Yeah, I think it's like a old-school English traditional club, and great course, and even though it's very, very old, it's still a tough track, and we're going to see that this week. You know, I like the viewing from the tee, the old bunkers and everything. It's nice to walk around there.
Former world number one Luke Donald of England will have to contend with some weather as he continues his return after missing 5 months with a back injury.
It's a good test. From the weather forecast, I think it's going to blow a little bit the next few days. So windy will make it a tough test, especially off the tee. You know, it does give you some room, but if you're a little bit offline, there's not much rough, and then it's thick heather. So it's going to be the guy that can really drive it well, keep it in play, will have the advantage this week, I think.
The next several years will be quite eventful for Los Angeles. As the city prepares to host football's FIFA World Cup in 2026, followed by the Olympics 2 years later. For Victor Gordo, president of the company that operates the famed Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena, the news that some of the matches of the 2026 FIFA World Cup will take place in L.A. made him happy.
Pasadena, I think, was proud to welcome the world to America Stadium, the Rose Bowl. And once again, we'll be proud to, should we be fortunate enough to host a game or two or three or maybe more, we'll welcome the world with open arms and celebrate once again.
The Rose Bowl was built almost a century ago and is among the 20 biggest stadiums in the world. In addition to countless U.S. college football games, the Rose Bowl served as the venue for two Summer Olympics in 1932 and 1984, and the 1999 Women's World Cup Final. Gordo is certain a stadium with such credentials is ready to host the FIFA World Cup anytime.
We recently completed a $182 million renovation of the stadium, that has managed to launch the stadium hopefully into its next 100 years.
Not far away in Inglewood, another stadium is almost ready, a brand new forum that will seat about 70,000 people. It will open in 2020. Local authorities hope it will be one of the venues for both the World Cup and 2028 Summer Olympics. But some residents believe the closed-off streets, additional traffic, and thousands of tourists that the Olympics and the World Cup will bring to Los Angeles are not good for the city. Steve Ducey is the leader of the group No Olympics LA.
The World Cup plays into this in very similar fashion. It creates the same conditions, the same kind of state of exception that the Olympics create, these kinds of mega events. Create things like, tax breaks for the organizations that throw them on, as well as accelerating the militarization of police with the security.
Local residents are largely more optimistic.
I think it's great.
I think it'll bring more people here, and we don't need no more people here.
If it's come to U.S., and it's going to be, exciting.
I think that more people that come to L.A., the better, and it'll be, a great city to host, a whole city. I think we in L.A. have a lot of stadiums and a lot of good places to entertain all the visitors, so I think it's going to be great.
The 2026 World Cup will be jointly hosted by 16 cities in the United States, Mexico, and Canada, the first such tournament to take place in three countries.
And thanks to Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports report. And that wraps up the October 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer and author Skipper Sisk. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24, and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Do you know an insecticide-treated bed can help protect your children from getting malaria? Check with your local healthcare provider to see if you can get one of these nets. They keep mosquitoes away from your children while they sleep. If you have a net and wash it, make sure it dries in a shady area to prevent weakening of the insecticide. Also, if you have a net is more than 6 months old, check with your local healthcare provider to see if you can get a new one or have yours retreated.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about Africa's land ownership and the challenge of land reform. We'll examine Africa's land redistribution and the fundamental issue of land inequality on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
How much do you know about HIV, the virus that causes AIDS? Do you know that you cannot get HIV from toilet seat or a drinking glass? HIV is transmitted through blood and bodily fluids, primarily through sexual contact. One way to protect yourself if you are sexually active is to be sure to use a condom. Condoms can reduce the risk of getting or transmitting HIV by up to 98%.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.